this has been a really big update for us. It's been in a year in the making, and we've took a complete scrub of the entire security control catalog, looking at the current threat space, trying to understand where we had any gaps in our current controls so our customers could provide better defenses for our critical federal system. So we looked at things like, based on the threats and the attacks that we're seeing, we looked at things like the insider threat, application security, cloud and mobile, supply chain, the advanced persist threat. We added a brand new appendix for privacy, a whole set of privacy controls now to kind of give us that balance between security and privacy. And then we took a look at our appendix that we have on assurance, which kind of goes hand in hand with functionality to make sure we have confidence in the systems and products that are deployed to help protect, you know, our critical missions.
Well, you mentioned the term advanced persistent threat, and that term is getting thrown around a lot. What's the definition of an APT?
Well, very simply, the APT, or advanced persistent threat, is where an adversary uses either cyber or physical types of attacks to get a foothold within the organization and the information systems. Many times the attacks are not looking, or the adversaries aren't looking for a quick win. They're looking to get that long-term penetration within the systems and presence within the organization so they can influence things such as taking control of the systems and exfiltrating intellectual property, possibly classified documents. There's a whole range of things that adversaries would like to do with regard to exfiltration, which go well beyond just bringing down a particular capability.
So Buckshot Yankee was an APT?
A form, yeah. I mean, the definition is fairly broad. How you define each individual type of attack and what category you place it under really is not that relevant. But they're all potentially very devastating, and they have to be defended at all costs.
The guidance that you're putting out, we have a link to the comments and so on at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. What kind of comments are you looking for on this guidance right now?
Well, the public comment period is very important to NIST as far as all of our publications. We get comments from both public and private sector organizations. Everything is on the table. We would hope that our customers would look at the new controls that we implemented within the catalog, all of the enhancements, the supplemental guidance, privacy controls, the assurance section. It really helps us to understand if the material that we're producing, we want it to actually be implementable for our customers so they can have cost-effective, risk-based cybersecurity programs. So every one of these comments we look at very carefully, and we try to integrate those comments back into the final publication, which we hope to have out in the July timeframe.
And when that comes out, this is for every federal agency, right? This is for everybody to use.
Yes, it's under the FISMA legislation. It applies to all federal agencies and all contractors who are supporting federal agencies. So, in essence, wherever there's federal information being processed or transmitted in a federal agency or in a contractor's organization, that the guidance would apply.
Now, Congress has kicked around the idea of updating FISMA, and based on the calendar that they've proposed, it's just an educated guess on my part, but I don't think anything will change, really. I don't think they'll get anything done with FISMA legislation between now and July. In the unlikely event they pulled something out, how might something like that impact what you're doing here?
Well, every time the Congress, passes legislation, especially if NIST is called out in the legislation to produce a standard or a guideline, we look at it very carefully. We've been the implementation arm for the current legislation since 2003. But in every bit of draft legislation that we're looking at and all the new things that are on the horizon, all of our revision 4 material is very consistent, whether it's continuous hearing or the privacy controls or providing for the defenses against advanced threat. All of these different things are very well covered in Rev 4, so I don't anticipate anything would change in Revision 4 based upon legislation, but we're always prepared to take it to final when it's passed and make adjustments as necessary.
I want to take you back, if I can, for a minute to the insider threat concept. A lot of people paying attention to that because of WikiLeaks. But I think the idea that there are people inside organizations that don't have the organization's best interests at heart is something that's was gaining awareness before the WikiLeaks thing happened. What are you learning and what are you including in here when it comes to insider threats?
Well, the insider threat has come on the radar, as you said, because of the WikiLeaks. That was the event that really illustrated to a large degree about the extent of the damage that can be done with insider threat. We work very closely with the Software Engineering Institute at Carnegie Mellon University. They have a really great insider threat group up there. They have over 10 years' worth of research on insider threats, and they provided us with specific recommendations, which we integrated in the form of controls and enhanced controls within the catalog. One of the areas that I think is of interest is we have to do a better job of integrating the folks in the IT department with the human resources department. So in the case of WikiLeaks, you had a bad actor, a soldier who had gone rogue, still had lots and lots of privileges. So here was a bad actor on the radar, and at that point in time, the IT folks or the security folks should have pulled all those privileges. He had lots of access to critical information well after he was deemed a bad actor. We've got to make sure this integration exists across the organization so we can talk to the different departments, communicate, and we hold those privileges so when these things happen, we don't have the devastating effects that WikiLeaks caused.
What's the next step? You mentioned this is you're shooting for a July timeframe to get the final document published. What's next after that, or is this pretty much it for this publication, Security and Privacy Controls for Federal Information Systems and Organizations?
This is one of the five joint task force documents. Back in 2008, we established a very close partnership with the intelligence community in cooperation with the Director of National Intelligence and the Defense Department. So our partnership now to the joint task force, we produced five documents that are kind of in the series. They have the security controls, the assessment procedures, our risk management framework, our risk assessment guideline. We're just in the process of concluding the fifth and final document on risk assessments. That's going on in conjunction with the 853 Rev 4. So once these documents are complete, we start to go back all over again and look at, do the documents need to be updated? The threat space continues to move forward. We're looking at a lot of data on cyber attacks, capabilities, intentions, targeting by adversaries. All that information is used in a cycle to update our documents on the order of every 2 years. So we're always going to be trying to bring the best defenses to our customers we possibly can.
Ron, thanks for the update. I appreciate it this afternoon.
Thank you, Francis. Good talking to you.
You too. Ron Ross is